This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. By the year 2015, just next year, those aged 50 and older will represent 45% of the U.S. population. And this baby boom generation, more than 78 million strong, has an annual income in excess of $2.3 trillion. Joining us to discuss how companies can reach these consumers and tap into the growing buying power of an aging baby boomer generation are Kara Pratt, Vice President of Manufacturer Practice with Dunnhumby USA, and Scott Collins, President and CEO of Linkage. You can be part of the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, both of you.
Good afternoon.
Hi. You know, 45% of the U.S. population is going to be over 50 by next year. And on the one hand, I'm glad to know I'll have a lot of company in this age group, but, you know, it also makes me feel older. But, Kara, can you put this in perspective? This is a significant demographic shift, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's definitely a demographic that we need to keep focus on, as a lot of marketers are thinking about millennials. But, you know, from Dunnhumby's perspective, as we think about engaging with consumers, it's all about being relevant. And demographics, really, it spans any demographic. So how do we personalize an engagement with somebody by understanding what their wants are, what their needs are, again, regardless of their 50 plus, if they're 25 to 34?
And Scott, from your perspective, this is a significant shift, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I think one of the most interesting stats is that by 2017, there will be more people in our country over the age of 60 than under the age of 5 for the first time in our history, and it'll stay that way for the rest of time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now for companies, this is the older generation. This is a desirable group to target, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's where Linkage takes a lot of time to get deep understanding. And I want, you know, what Kara said is absolutely right. It's about understanding people's life stages and not defining them by a number or a preconceived notion of what aging really means. There's tons of opportunity in this space for marketers and companies developing products or technologies for this segment of the population.
I'm glad to see this shift, because my wife and I sometimes feel that we're being neglected. We'll sit there watching the TV and all the ads seem to be aimed, as you were saying, Kara, at much younger people, the millennials. Has that been the case when it comes to marketing, and now companies are starting to say, uh-oh, we better get ready for this major shift that's coming into an older population?
Yeah, I think it can be difficult in some mainstream channels for marketing, but you know, it's changing. Even the television is changing. There's addressable TV that's coming to market that absolutely marketers are using today. So they can target homes based on more of life stages and where that fusion is with demographics and the relevancy. So, but from a aging population, again, you've said it really, the 65 to you know, plus, they're going to be controlling 70% of disposable income in the next 5 years. So they cannot be disregarded. But it's all about how do you stay relevant, because not all 65-plus-year-olds really are engaging in the same activities. There are some that are very convenience-oriented. There's others that are more, you know, traditional, and others that are price-sensitive. So really understanding where you need to focus is going to be of critical importance to marketers.
Scott, talk about what Linkage does. What's your company involved in?
Sure. We leverage our deep domain expertise into the aging population to essentially drive three companies: Linkage Solutions, which provides purchasing services for senior living communities around the country in the area of things like food, pharmacy, medical supplies. We also have a company called Linkage Connect, which is a market research consultancy that taps directly into the mindset of consumers over the age of 65, which can be really challenging or tough to reach demographic through traditional means. And then finally, we have a company called Linkage Ventures, which pools our capital along with that of strategic investment partners to deploy into companies who are developing products specifically for our aging population, whether it be products, technologies, or services. So we just launched a $25 million venture fund to put into companies developing products, service, technologies for this demographic. So we're really putting our money where our mouth is with this.
And Kara, talk about the role of Dunnhumby in the marketing world. Your research primarily, correct? How do you go about that?
Yeah, research and activation. There's a lot of activation that we're pooling from understanding insights to then drive relevant communication. So, you know, we have partnerships that allow us to engage with shoppers directly in the digital space and the mobile space through television as well. So again, it's all about taking some of those data points to then enable activation real time through different channels.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Scott, is the older generation a tough group to market to?
Not if you understand them as a consumer. And that's part of the problem. Even in the definition, in the lead up to today, 65 plus, there's really not another age segment where we say put a plus sign after it and assume everybody else is the same. So there's tremendous complexity in people over the age of 65. One thing most people fail to understand, the fastest growing segment over the age of 65 is the 80 over 85 segment. And so when we do our market research, we really take the time to break down those segments over the age of 65. And some of our stuff goes well north of consumers over the age of 100.
So are companies prepared to take advantage of this growing senior market? It sounds like it could be lucrative, but are they ready for it?
I don't think so, only because of some of the stereotypes and preconceived notions around aging. So some companies who think their products are specifically tailored to that space in the areas of adult incontinence or durable medical equipment, those are the ones that seem to think that that's really the product choice for that age demographic. But unfortunately, more and more companies are not recognizing that their product as it sits today could be perfect for an 85-year-old, but it might just take some different packaging or messaging or font sizes. So there's some really simple things that could be done to better position a product for success so that we could start thinking about the aging population in terms of thriving, improving wellness instead of this idea of decline or chronic illness or, not necessarily getting better year after year.
You know, that seems to be one of the pitfalls to approaching this age group is that stereotypes, ads that aren't realistic because they show old age as one of two extremes. It's either help me, I've fallen and I can't get up, or you're racing your bike in the Tour de France when you're 83 years old. It's either one of the two extremes. Marketers don't seem to quite have hit that happy medium that's real, have they?
All right.
You know, it is. It's all about being personalized to that household, that individual. So it's really critical for marketers to take. There's so many data assets out there, and when you get into the big data world, it gets very complicated to start to peel that apart and leverage that information in a really meaningful way.
And just picking up on that theme of big data, I think if you look at a lot of the studies, some that we've done, we refielded a Pew study from last fall on the use of internet and social media among the aging population. Theirs was a total population. We redid that for people over the age of 65. And there is a real drop off once you hit your mid-70s in terms of internet usage, but it's still a tremendous segment of our population. So how do you make sure that you're actively tapping into that consumer and creating a forum for their voices to be heard in terms of product development and marketing messages?
Is the internet a good way to, and social media, are they good ways to reach this older generation in your marketing efforts?
I think that I don't think that any channel's off limits, right? I think that that it's going to be really important to keep the kind of cross-channel pollination really alive. I think it'd be a hindrance to not have marketers using social channels to engage, you know, this subset of shoppers. Again, what it tends to do is just being really real with who they are, where they tend to be, and as much real-time activation as we can do based on placement on mobile, on television, and on digital is going to then enable that spend to really drive business results.
I agree. And even taking that just a step further, we did some studies around the use of technology among older adults a few years ago. And what we found were three key truths. Access. Most older adults above the age of 75, 80 are really lacking in access to broadband technology. Awareness. A lot of people who are older don't know what types of technology or tools are out there to help them age successfully. And finally, is affordability. Making sure that different technologies and access to it so that their voices can be heard is done in a way that's affordable and easy to understand.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And let's talk with Karen in Lebanon. Good afternoon, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
My question or my comment is in regard to the availability of affordable housing for boomers that are done with the subdivision house and its excess size from raising their family to a more affordable solution before they're ready to go into a retirement facility. I think there's a real lack, but this is an untapped market, I believe. I work for a retirement community, and, a lot of people my age, I'm 60, are not ready to go into a retirement facility, but when you start looking around at smaller housing, that's where I believe the tiny house market comes in. And if anybody's been looking online, you may be aware of the tiny house movement, where many of these dwellings are 400 to 800 square feet. I'll take my comments off the air, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Karen. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that is absolutely an unbelievably critical need for our aging population. If you look from just a housing perspective, our country was not purpose-built to house an aging population affordably or effectively. And there are a lot of innovations coming down the road in that regard. But then there's also the segment of our population that is rapidly expanding that truly cannot afford anything that we would traditionally associate with acceptable housing. There's government programs like the HUD 202 programs that are available out there, but this is a huge, huge challenge along with the need to better and more effectively transport an aging population. And then finally, looking at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, how do you effectively affordably feed an aging population? These are all huge challenges for us to wrestle with over the next 10 to 15 years.
And part of the overall picture of part of marketing is you have to figure out the needs and wants of your audience. And then I guess it's a tough thing to do with people who are in this older generation as they move farther and farther along, 65 plus, 70 plus, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's why some of the more traditional means haven't necessarily worked. You have to have a certain element of trust in a relationship with people beyond the age of probably 75 in order to really tap into their understanding. And traditional language associated with market research doesn't necessarily always get you the truth that you're seeking as a marketer or a developer of products or services for this population.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And Kara, how much do we know about the spending habits of people who are in the 50-plus age group and on out?
Yeah, absolutely. An incredible amount of information. Again, in the next 5 years, 50% of the population is going to be 50-plus, and they're going to control 70% of disposable income in the marketplace. Even as we look at a little bit older consumer set, by 2020, it's still anticipated that one in three 65 to 74-year-olds are still going to be in the workforce. So the understanding the dynamics of who's at play and where budgets are being spent is really important.
There's a couple other things from a consumer's perspective, just to build on what Kara said. She's absolutely right. And not everybody who is an older adult is spending that money on healthcare or medically related products. The other thing to bear in mind here is that you've got an interesting dynamic taking place with people over the age of 60, in that 50% of them have at least one living parent. And so what that means is you have people who are going to be in their 65 to 70-year-old age range buying products for themselves as they age, but then also making those buying decisions for an older adult. So as a marketer, you need to really understand the role of that person over the age of 65, both in terms of their capacity as a consumer, but then also as an influencer in what is purchased for older adults.
And what's really interesting there, Scott, is that it's anticipated that 50% of boomers expect that they're going to have to provide for their children as well, their adult children, right? So you have that real difference in what this age group is really looking for is they go to the store and they make their purchases, both for their parents and their children and their grandchildren.
And that messaging for the same product might be very, very different if I'm looking at someone who's in their early 60s versus someone who's in their early 80s. So it creates both a challenge, but I think tremendous opportunities for consumer packaged goods companies and marketers as well.
Do companies run the risk of insulting their potential customers by assuming things about the demographic they're dealing with instead of doing actual research and finding out what the needs and wants really are?
Yeah, there's an immense amount of research that's floating through the consumer packaged goods industry. So I don't think that decisions are being made by lack of understanding. It's quite unbelievable as those decisions are made, kind of the insights that are brought to bear. So there's a lot that goes into figuring out really how that package should look on shelf and what the nomenclature and vernacular should be. But again, for I think it really to pop and be the most relevant as we think about not looking at 65 plus, but looking at 50 to 64, 65 to 74, et cetera, as you start to do those chunks, it's really about finding that person, you know, where they are, with how they need to be communicated, you know, with that life stage and what they're engaged in. So that personal connection based on, you know, consumer insights and customer data is really important.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Did you have something you wanted to add, Scott?
Yeah, I think she's spot on. And it's about not making assumptions, about not like sort of lumping people into one big group. If you look across the boomers, there's tremendous understanding about segmentation. And they're typically looking at products and services as a gateway to experiences, whereas some of your older consumers are really looking at that aspect of a relationship as a big influencer in the buying decision.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the discussion. And let's talk with Jim in Hyde Park. Good afternoon, Jim.
Good afternoon. I'm going to turn 80 in July, so that's kind of a marker for me. And at 80 years old, I'm reasonably good health. I just want to talk about consumption. What the hell is an 80-year-old buy? And this is for your Dunnhumby people primarily. At 80 years old, you know, all my suits in my closet, I'm not going to buy a new suit. My shoes are going to last me till I die. And I just don't buy a hell of a lot except when I go to an outlet store and buy something for myself. But we have a condo. We're going to live there until we die or go into the pre-house. So I'm not sure how you market an 80-year-old. And it's a market, sure. But, you know, the market is 65 and under. I'm not sure we buy. You know,
I feel that way myself sometimes, yeah, that they're aiming for younger people, Jim.
What are you going to market me about? I don't need a new Brooks Brothers shirt. They're going to last me until I die.
Okay.
So as far as buying, we eat breakfast, we eat dinner, we do travel some, and we end up giving now our grandkids a hell of a lot. So you want to market my grandkids for me? You could do that.
Okay, Jim.
But it's a tough market. I appreciate calling in. It's a good program, by the way. You're not bad.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciated. And let's see what our panelists have to say here to that.
First, Jim, I love your spunk. So congrats to you.
Happy birthday to you on 80.
You know, it's complicated. I think that's where, as we were talking about, marketing to people based on their age demographic isn't going to cut it. You need to understand who they are and how they're engaging. There's, to your point, you know, making purchases for your grandchildren, marketing to you should absolutely bring that into the mix, because that's relevant to you. So it's not about life stage. It's about lifestyle. It's about everything that's, you know, encompasses, how you live your life and who you're with day in and day out. So you're spot on, and for marketers to cut through the clutter, it's really important for them to understand more about you than the fact that you're turning 80.
Yeah, really well said.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our discussion. Let's talk with Marie in Eastside. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I just had a quick question. I am in the demographics that you're discussing, but I am single, and I love to travel. And the cruise industry still is, you know, marketing to people that are couples or people that want to meet other singles in a dating relationship. But I'm looking for opportunities to safely travel as a single female. And I wondered why I do not see more opportunities for that market.
That's a great question, because when you look at the percentage of especially international travel, a large percentage of it is done by people over the age of 50. I think, again, it's just sort of this lack of awareness that there is a tremendous opportunity to engage that travel consumer who is looking for that type of experience. And it's not just about families with young kids. So I think more and more companies are beginning to wake up to it. And the hope is that through some education and raising awareness, that you will start to see more travel choices targeted directly for the type of experience you're looking to have.
Thanks, Marie. We appreciate the comment and the question. Let's talk with Vicki in Miamisburg. Hi, Vicki.
Hello.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I am with a company that provides design and engineering and equipment manufacturing for the metal container industry. And we have designed a reclosable food can that is significantly easier to open. It requires significantly less hand strength to open than a traditional can would with a pull-top, full pull panel pull. And my question is for you, have you had any experience with branding companies that are increasingly looking to market things like this in specific areas that maybe have high concentrations of retired individuals? And or have you had experience with getting the attention of some of these packaging companies to recognize the growing population of older people that might be interested in this type of thing?
Okay, Vicki, thank you for your question.
Great question. Great point. What's interesting is this concept of design for all. So while you're designing a product specifically to be easier and more convenient for a certain potential demographic to open, it's great for everybody, not just people as they age. There's a company out there called Sabi who has designed a suite of products for the aging population, but they're just great looking products. So drink containers that you would typically see younger people using for exercise, but with pill canisters built into the top. It's excellent design, excellent function. Anybody would want to use it, but it doesn't scream out, it's time for me to take out my Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday pill container. And another company out there that's really pivoted well is a company called Great Call. They started out with a jitterbug phone that was specifically designed for older adults. But if you look at how they've evolved over the years as a company, now what they're doing is selling peace of mind, security, and safety for anybody at any age. So their smartphone technology, their call center support is terrific for someone who's either 85 or someone who's 35 and alone at night running in the park.
Couple of minutes left here. What would be your advice from each of you to companies that want to cater to this important and quickly growing audience, Kara?
You know, it's all about personalization. It's getting beyond the demographic. It really is. So it's understanding not just life stage, but lifestyle and having that drive, drive a one-to-one communication.
Yeah, I think the idea of trying to tap into voices that historically have not been heard can be a very powerful thing for marketers and developers. And then also making sure that as your consumer for your product ages, that you continue to stay relevant with them, regardless of age, but really through life stage.
Thank you both for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Kara Pratt, Vice President of Manufacturer Practice with Dunnhumby USA, and Scott Collins, President and CEO of Linkage. After the break, a look at a local organization that develops products and services for the 50-plus market. And in about 20 minutes, Ann Thompson looks at how someday your smartphone will be just as smart as you are. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.